task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rick Wilson. Welcome back once again to the Elephant in the Room podcast. Each week, we try to bring you a story or a condition in American politics that deserves a little more attention, that needs the curtain pulled back a little bit. And I had a whole separate topic for this show when I started out. I was going to talk to you about Iran. I was going to talk to you about the insanity of where we are in this alleged ceasefire and the contradictions of flooding 50,000 more troops into the theater.
Recent deployments ordered by President Donald Trump have pushed the number of U.S. troops in the Middle East to more than 50,000, a significant surge over the region's normal American military footprint. This escalation comes amid a rapidly widening U.S.-Israeli war with Iran in early 2026, prompting Washington to rush additional Marines, sailors, and paratroopers to the region as both a deterrent signal and a contingency force for potential ground or maritime operations.
And of Trump switching back and forth between conciliation and madness.
The entire country can be taken out in one night, and that night might be tomorrow night.
They want to make a deal. The reason they want to make a deal is they have been just beat to shit.
I could have. We could have talked about that for half an hour without a problem. But late this afternoon, it's Thursday while I'm recording this. You'll see this tomorrow on Friday. Late this afternoon, Melania Trump had a surprise press conference. Well, not a press conference, a press statement. She came out and gave the strangest defense of herself about Jeffrey Epstein.
The lies linking me with the disgraceful Jeffrey Epstein need to end today. The individuals lying about me are devoid of ethical standards, humility, and respect.
Not her husband. Didn't defend Donald Trump at all in the statement. But it was, I never knew Jeffrey Epstein. I was never around Jeffrey Epstein. It's all a lie.
I reject their mean-spirited attempts to defame my reputation. I never been friends with Epstein.
None of those pictures are real. I'm not that girl. I didn't meet my husband through Jeffrey Epstein.
To be clear, I never had a relationship with Epstein or his accomplice, Maxwell. My email reply to Maxwell cannot be categorized as anything more than casual correspondence. I am not Epstein's victim. Epstein did not introduce me to Donald Trump. I met my husband by chance at the New York City party in 1998. This initial encounter with my husband is documented in a detail in my book, Melania.
It was a strained and strange performance.
Numerous fake images and statements about Epstein and me have been circulating on social media for years now. Be cautious about what you believe. These images and stories are completely false. I'm not a witness or a name witness in connection with any of Epstein's crimes. My name has never appeared in court documents, depositions, victim statements, or FBI in interviews surrounding the Epstein matter. I have never had any knowledge of Epstein's abuse of his victims. I have never been legally accused or convinced of a crime. Each and every woman should have her day to tell her story in public if she wishes, and then her testimony should be permanently entered into the congressional record. Then, and only then, we will have the truth. Thank you.
And Epstein, folks, is the elephant. Still. And always in the room. I think the thing about the Epstein story that's really ridden with me through the entire second term of Trump is that what we know intuitively, we get to see every day as an example, that there are two systems of justice in America. There's the high and the low, the powerful and the powerless, the rich and the poor. And in America, if you're rich and you're buddies with Jeffrey Epstein and you're using these young girls that he trafficked, raping them, abusing them, you're okay. You're going to get away with it. You're not going to get punished. You're barely going to get recognized. You're barely going to get have your name put out there to be shamed in the public sphere. You're barely going to have any accountability at all. Wes Wexner, Leon Black, Alan Dershowitz, all these people, direct relationships with him. Donald Trump, direct relationship. And all these people had these relationships after Epstein had already been convicted. But those two systems of justice are very much out there. The victims of Epstein have struggled to have their cases heard, to have their stories told. You had Pam Bondi just 5 weeks ago stand up in Congress and refuse to meet the eye of the victims, refuse to turn to those victims, refuse to speak to or of them.
On a snowy Capitol Hill, survivors of Jeffrey Epstein gathered once more, sharing their frustration with the Justice Department.
The people who have harmed us, they are hidden, while survivors have been exposed.
It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize.
I'm not going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
Pam Bondi was asked why co-conspirators' names were redacted and why her department mistakenly released files that identified survivors. She repeatedly deflected and tried to shift focus to her predecessor, Joe Biden's Attorney General.
Did you ask Merrick Garland that the last 4 years?
This cover-up spans decades, and you are responsible for this portion of it. And
under a barrage of questions, the Attorney General didn't waver. She insisted Democrats are looking for a political distraction to obscure the successes of the Trump administration.
This is not protection. This is betrayal.
Many survivors say they're still willing to give more evidence.
Instead, she did a bunch of song and dance, Trumpian minstrel show insult comic bit.
So, Ms. Bondi, will you commit right here to immediately providing those two documents in unredacted form to members of Congress? Not a complicated question.
I guess it is for you because you have a law degree and those are privileged.
They're not privileged, but we will discuss that later. Will you commit to publicly providing the unredacted version of this so that the American people can understand the extent of Donald Trump's lies about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein?
You're about as good of a lawyer today as you were when you tried to impeach President Trump in 2016. Have you apologized for that in 2019?
Will you unredact this? You were lead counsel on that privilege. I'm asking you, will you unredact this?
Privileged,
of course.
Insulting the members of Congress who were asking her the questions, including the one moment that if she still had a soul, and if she was actually committed to a system of justice where everybody was equal under the law, she would have turned to those people and said, I'm so sorry for what you've been through. Horrifying. Can't imagine the pain you feel. I'm sorry we haven't handled this the right way. She couldn't and wouldn't, of course, because she lacks that soul. She lacks that ability. You know, starting something new isn't just hard. It can be downright terrifying. It can be really hard to make that leap of faith. You can stick with this thing you know. You can stick with the organization or the business or the cause that you're in. But you know what? There is something deep in our character as humans that wants to do more. Trust me, I know this. You know, when I started this organization, I wasn't even sure what we were doing. It can be scary. I get it. Those fears and hesitations, though, put some of those aside. When you've got Shopify as a partner, Shopify is there to help. They're there to help you get on your feet. They're there to help you make money. We all know Shopify. And Shopify is the commerce platform that's behind millions of businesses online. 10% of all the e-commerce in the United States runs through Shopify. And that includes brand names, big names, and folks you're just seeing come out today. Get started with your own design studio. They've got hundreds of design templates to help you build a really beautiful online store that looks great, that's easy to use, that helps customers find what they need. Shopify also helps you get the word out like you have a big marketing team behind you. Shopify can help you get your brand out there, your name out there, your website out there. And it's one of the tools people underestimate how important that is in e-commerce and in becoming a brand. And you know, if you get stuck, Shopify has amazing 24/7 customer support. You don't have to go to multiple websites or figure out what's working on one side of your business, not on the other. Shopify integrates all of it. You know, one of the best things about Shopify is the Shop Pay button. We've all used it. We've all seen it. It's a one-click thing. Helps folks make a purchase from you right away. The Shop Pay button enables you to get customers quickly through the funnel. One click, and there is a sale. It's time to turn those what-ifs into cha-ching with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/Lincoln Project. Go to shopify.com/Lincoln Project. That's shopify.com/Lincoln Project. It really reminded me, we're one day away from Donald Trump's supposedly brilliant ceasefire deal, which will fall apart. We'll set that aside. And Jeffrey Epstein is already back front and center in the news. Epstein is permanent. Epstein doesn't go away. Epstein isn't erasable. Epstein isn't something where one day we just wake up and it's gone. It never goes away because we haven't faced the evil. And Trump would love for it to go away. God, he desperately wants it to go away.
Me and Jeffrey Epstein, I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. And in fact, if you look at the DOJ, they announced, they released 3 million pages. It's like this is all they're supposed to be doing. And frankly, the DOJ, I think, should just say, we have other things to do.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if he walks around buck naked on the White House lawn to make it go away. Sorry for the nightmare fuel. I apologize. But the permanence of Epstein, the endless gravitational pull of this story, was not made any better this week by Todd Blanche. Blanche went out and did this. We're done. No more. You get nothing else. So, too bad. That's it. No more.
You said this is the end of the Epstein, of your review of the Epstein files. So, just to clarify, is the public going to learn the identities of the men who abused the girls with the information that you're releasing? And if not, why not? And then I have a quick follow-up.
I mean, you just baked in an assumption into your question that I have never said and I don't know to be true. Is the public going to learn about men that abuse these girls? Like, what does that mean? I mean, I don't understand what that means.
Well, I mean, the men who abused the young women through Epstein's...
We said in July, and it remains as true today as it was in July, if we had information, we meaning the Department of Justice, about men who abused women, we would prosecute them, right? We talked about the work that we're doing. That's why I said that. I said this earlier. There's this built-in assumption that somehow there's this hidden tranche of information of men that we know about that we're covering up or that we're choosing not to prosecute. That is not the case. I don't know whether there are men out there that abuse these women.
I got to tell you, Todd, the Epstein Accountability Act is still the law of the goddamn land. And I want your smart mouth to keep writing checks it can't cash because you're going to be in the hot seat soon. And you're going to be in the hot seat 7 or 8 months from now when Republicans don't control Congress anymore. And you know what happens then, buddy, because Epstein is permanent. Epstein is always in the room. But Todd Blanche has led, along with Bondi and Patel, the largest cover-up in American political history, the most consequential political cover-up in American history. He decided it was fine to go down and make a deal with Ghislaine Maxwell. He's lied to Congress about that deal. Somebody did it. Todd. It didn't happen de novo. It didn't just happen out of nothing. It didn't disappear. She didn't just suddenly magically become not a sex offender, child trafficker, and then get moved to minimum security prison. She still is all those things. Somebody did it. Todd. Right after you sat down with her. Todd. Todd. Yeah, I've been in so many Todds who just turn out to be shits. Somebody will get that joke. But the real talk here, the serious talk here, is that the Epstein matter never goes away. Because as a country, we haven't held people accountable for it. And we deserve to be haunted by this. We deserve to be haunted by these victims. We deserve to be haunted by the pain their families are still going through.
Our next guest was 17 years old when she was recruited by Jeffrey Epstein in 2004. She says he threatened to wield his influence to withhold medical care from her sick mother, entrapping her in what she's called a cycle of abuse. Danielle Bensky is joining us now. It's always nice to have you here.
Thank you,
Danielle. Were you surprised to hear Melania Trump give these remarks? And what did you hear in her words?
I think survivors were completely blindsided. I think we were expecting to hear from a lot of different voices. Melania was not on the radar, I would say. And it just speaks to the level of the only thing that is certain is uncertainty in this administration. I heard blame be placed on survivors in this. I think that it feels like the burden has been now placed on survivors to come forward and speak in front of Congress, when in reality, we've been asking for proper investigations and for trials to move through this the right way from the very beginning. And it feels like this administration is often, I mean, it's a masterclass in the art of deflection, right? And so yet again, we should be talking about Pam Bondi. We should be talking about what is Todd Blanche going to do, which, by the way, this is completely contradictory to the statements that he's been making, which is nothing's been mishandled, that basically we all need to just move on from this, right? And so I think it just puts all of us on our heels a little bit and just gives us pause. And I think we really are just completely caught off guard and trying to figure out you know, what our next move is, but that the burden needs to be on the DOJ. The burden needs to be on the FBI. We have an FBI. We have a DOJ. They need to do their jobs.
We deserve to have reminders that this system is protecting Donald Trump. This cover-up at the DOJ is protecting Donald Trump and protecting Donald Trump's friends, protecting Jeffrey Epstein's friends, and protecting Jeffrey Epstein. We've had redacted evidence. We've had altered evidence. We have had Congress monitored while they're trying to get the evidence about this case. We've had this administration fight tooth and nail every step of the way to prevent the exposure of the materials that implicate Donald Trump in behavior with Jeffrey Epstein. And if you don't think that that is something that Americans have been very clear about wanting to know, you're not paying attention.
You know, there are a lot of problems with these big tech companies. But the biggest one of all is they don't just want your money. They want to know everything about you. And let's be real, it's creepy. These shadowy data brokers make a living, and a very good one, unfortunately, compiling detailed profiles of your online activity and selling them to marketers and other corporate folks. I don't like it, and I know you don't like it either. Why do they do it? They basically want to control your behavior with targeted ads. They're not selling you a product. They're selling you to these data brokers. You know what? You don't have to let them. You really don't. You get a vote in this. You get a choice in this. And the choice you should make is ExpressVPN. It's a way to keep your browsing history truly private. We use it all the time. One of the easiest ways for data brokers to track you is through your device's IP address. You've all heard of it. And that tells you a lot. Where you are, what you're doing, what you're looking at on the internet. Nobody wants this, except the data brokers. With ExpressVPN, your IP address goes poof. It's hidden. When you hide your IP address, it makes it so much more difficult for these data brokers to monitor, to track, and most importantly, to sell and monetize you. We're believers in ExpressVPN because they have a phenomenal product at a plan that starts at $3.49 a month, 12 cents a day, folks. It encrypts 100% of your network traffic, keeps your data safe from hackers, even when you're using public Wi-Fi, maybe especially when you're using public Wi-Fi. ExpressVPN works on all your devices. It's easy. The same app on your phone, your laptop, your tablet, you name it. I'm no software engineer, but it's called a zero-knowledge design. Even ExpressVPN doesn't know what you're doing behind the IP protection that they offer you. Select plans include Identity Defender here in the U.S. That's a suite of tools that gets your data removed from the data brokers who already have it. And it also alerts you if they're doing something shady on the dark web with your information. It even insures you for up to $1 million of data theft. Look, when I'm traveling, you can bet I'm using ExpressVPN. Because if you don't, you're wide open. We use it at home. We use it when we travel, and we travel a lot, as you know. It has already, I think, started to show a drop-off in some of these targeted ads. And that, I have to tell you, is just the tip of the iceberg. More and more, it's important that you take the responsibility, as we have, to protect yourself. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/Lincoln Project. That's expressvpn.com/Lincoln Project to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months. expressvpn.com/Lincoln Project.
Look, we have a lot in this country that's wrong right now and off the rails, okay? A lot. We have an administration that is engaged in global and local authoritarianism. We have masked ICE agents still in the streets. We're not covering it like we were covering it because they've had to back down a little bit. We still have masked ICE agents snatching people off the street. We still have children in horrific prison camps.
Children's rights groups are sounding the alarm as we get startling new information about some of the youngest people caught up in President Trump's immigration crackdown.
I think the increase is driven by the Trump administration's focus on family detention. They have really been focusing their enforcement efforts on bringing in as many people as possible into detention and trying to deport as many people as possible. And when you do that, you end up targeting families and children. And so we've seen this really crazy rise in the number of kids that are spending time in detention centers that were never meant to house children.
Some of the details from the court filings are really stunning, with children held at Dilley Detention Center in Texas reportedly being served moldy, worm-infested food, which the government denies. Lawyers representing detained kids say they're sleep-deprived because the lights are kept on all night. One mother told the Associated Press her 13-year-old daughter attempted suicide after she stopped receiving psychiatric treatment there.
Well, I think you have long-term physical concerns these families had. We've talked to families who a child had an earache and they have long-lasting hearing damage, they're saying. We've also heard about the long-term psychological impacts that some of these families are having. You mentioned the 13-year-old who attempted suicide. We've also heard from families who say their previously potty-trained child is wetting themselves, or a very young child was hitting themselves. These are prison-like conditions, and those conditions, even short-term, can have really long-lasting effects on young people. And you've heard all kinds of medical associations speaking out and saying that this is something that is just not healthy for children for any length of time.
We have an economy that's absolutely devastating farms and families. Price of gas is through the roof. The price of energy broadly is through the roof. The price of groceries is through the roof. We have a country that feels lost, feels broken. We know why. We understand why. It's all downstream of Trump. There's no other explanation for it. They would like to go back and blame Biden or blame wokeism or blame whatever entry in the catalog of imaginary demons, you know, that makes them excited today. But there's a reason why I feel like the Jeffrey Epstein story continues to be at the cancerous heart of almost everything. Because so much of Trump's behavior in the second term has been to try to do what he's always done. He gets in trouble. And to get out of the trouble, he invents a bigger trouble. He invents more trouble. He blows up one thing and says, wait, oh, I know I blew that up, so I'm going to blow up something else, and something else, and something else, and something else. The tariffs. They certainly ate up a lot of bandwidth at time as they destroyed the economy. But when he had the tariffs going, we weren't talking about Jeffrey Epstein. The war. While I don't think he was talked into the war to get rid of the Epstein story, I think it hovered in his mind as a gigantic corollary benefit to getting rid of the Epstein story. Because obviously, we're talking about bombing schools full of girls.
We're staying with the war in Iran and Vedika, a newly released video adding to the evidence that it was an American missile that most likely struck an Iranian girls' school, killing 168 people. That's according to authorities there. Talk us through those images.
That's right, Sharon. A new missile video has put the spotlight on the United States regarding the recent bombing of a girls' school in Iran. Footage has emerged appearing to show a U.S. Tomahawk missile hitting an Iranian naval base in the clear vicinity of a primary school in the southern Iranian city of Minab. It's a strike that killed over 150 people, most of them girls studying at the school aged between 7 to 12 years old.
We're not talking about Jeffrey Epstein. We're talking about erasing the civilization. We're not talking about Jeffrey Epstein. We're talking about knocking them back in the Stone Age. We're not talking about Jeffrey Epstein. All these stories have a gravity point. And the minute they're out of the news for even a minute, we're back to the dual system. We're back to the evidence that's in your face every day that the Department of Justice is protecting Donald Trump and people who are around and close to and friends with and engaged with and who were parallel to the worst child sex traffic abuse ring in the country. You know, it may not be the largest. I don't know. Maybe there's something bigger. I don't know. Who would know? But it was most egregious because it was closest to power. It was most egregious because it was a man who would be the president of the United States partying with Jeffrey Epstein, a man he called his closest friend for 10 years. The story keeps coming back because we haven't processed it as a country. We haven't figured out how to deal with it. And on the right, there was a long period of time where they thought that the Epstein case was the Rosetta Stone to destroy the Democratic Party. Oh, we're going to find out that George Soros and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are all in a global child pedophile ring. It's a bunch of Donald Trump's friends, yo. Nobody wants to admit that. It's a bunch of friends on Wall Street. Nobody wants to admit that. Nobody wants to say that. Are there some Democrats on the list? Absolutely. And fuck them too. But it's going to keep coming back. Not only for him, but for us. Because until we deal with it, we are acknowledging that monsters walk among us without law, without sanction, without accountability. We're acknowledging that if you're rich enough and you hire the right law firm and you hire the right lobbyists and you hire the right PR firm and you hire the right constellation of advisors and spend the right money, you're going to be fine. White-collar fraud prevention was something the Department of Justice was pretty good at for a long time. Now they don't do it anymore. They literally don't do it anymore. Because the people committing those crimes are friends of Donald Trump. If you want a proof of that, he has pardoned dozens of people involved in white-collar fraud who hurt people, who hurt the poor, who hurt the elderly, who victimized people in everything from nursing homes to crypto scams. But that two-tiered system of justice exists now at a level where you can commit a crime and steal $1 billion, but if you put $1 million or $2 million into a MAGA super PAC, Trump's going to pardon you. If Jeffrey Epstein was alive today and he committed all these crimes and he threw $5 million into the MAGA super PAC, he'd be pardoned. Don't doubt me. Because if you look through that pardon list, you will see people who have committed egregious, horrifying crimes. We cannot pardon our way out of a corrupt society. Can't pretend these things didn't happen. These folks are innocent in some way. It's like the pardons of all the January 6 terrorists.
I rise today to express my outrage and ask my colleagues to join me in condemning the consequences of the actions of the president when he pardoned so many of the January 6th convicted individuals. At least 13 individuals have been pardoned by President Trump, have gone on to commit additional crimes, including sexual assault against a minor, and a fatal DUI. Instead of promoting accountability and rehabilitation when possible in our justice system, shouldn't the president and the majority be looking at these pardons and making sure that they accept the consequences of his actions and their actions by ignoring them? I urge my colleagues to join me in condemning the president's unvetted and ill-advised pardons that are leading to repeat events. The Congress should be here to protect innocent Americans, not looking away from the consequences of the president's actions.
We're going to live with that for a long time because they got away with it. And Jeffrey Epstein did not get away with it in the end, but he never got held to account publicly. When they killed him, or he died, or he committed suicide. I don't know which anymore. I don't have any ability now to believe anything about that. It did not end the story because the victims never had their day in court, because the evidence was never presented, because the people that were involved did not go to trial. Jeffrey Epstein was an evil man, truly evil, and he attracted evil men, some in the sexual space, some in the political space. I mean, Steve Bannon and Jeffrey Epstein have thousands of emails together conspiring to obtain and use political power. While the unparalleled nature of the evil of the sexual abuse of these young girls is shocking, it's equally shocking to watch one of the president's top advisors and one of the most important people in the MAGA ecosystem comfortably advising America's worst child sex trafficker without a blink of an eye.
The Epstein files released last year showed pictures of Jeffrey Epstein hanging out with former Trump advisor Steve Bannon, but the latest batch reveals a far more personal relationship between these two men. In hundreds of text messages and emails between them, their relationship and close friendship is apparent, including in this text exchange from July 6, 2019. In those messages, Bannon and Epstein discuss getting together the following day, but when Bannon proposes a time, Epstein abruptly calls off their plans, writing, quote, all canceled. Epstein had been arrested by federal authorities for sex trafficking minors. Bannon first met Epstein after the 2016 election, according to journalist Michael Wolff in his 2019 book, Siege, Trump Under Fire. Wolf wrote that Bannon, the architect of Trump's improbable win, told Epstein, quote, you were the one person I was truly afraid of coming forward during the campaign. Epstein grew deeply invested in Bannon's attempts to spread right-wing populism all over the globe, offering contacts, advice, and access to his plane. Bannon, meanwhile, seemed eager to take advantage of his new friends. One point in July 2018, he asked him in a text message, quote, do you know anyone in Europe that wants to control the European Parliament and with it the EU? At times, Epstein and Bannon reflected on their consequential partnership. Like when they had overlapping interests in Israel, Epstein wrote to Bannon, quote, now you can understand why Trump wakes up in the middle of the night sweating when he hears you and I are friends.
Didn't care at all. Jeffrey Epstein is an unresolved wound, an untreated disease, and ironically, the cover-up makes it worse. You know, it's like the zombie movies, right? Somebody gets bitten and they roll down their sleeves and nobody knows they're bitten. They're going to turn eventually, but nobody knows or has to know in the short term that they're bitten. There are a lot of people who've been bitten by the Epstein matter. Not the least of which is, of course, Donald Trump, who we are still victims of a cover-up to protect him. I find it egregious. I know you do too. We're going to go forward in the next weeks and months as the election gets closer. And the war will rage. It will fall back, it will rage again, it will go back and forth. Ukraine will go back and forth. Scandals will go back and forth. Things will go high, things will go low. Trump will continue most likely to collapse in his approval ratings, which he richly deserves. Trump will have no hesitation, though, to always try to blow up some new story, some new craziness, some new insanity, some new madness to protect himself from the one thing he can never escape, from the one thing the two-tier system of justice may have protected him so far, but cannot protect him forever. And that's the Epstein story. And I know everyone wants to talk about everything else right now. And you know, we're all motivated to. Iran is a incredibly consequential moment for this country. The sweeping evils of this administration at home and abroad are absolutely meritorious to talk about. But I truly believe this, until we talk honestly about how we're going to hold people to account who were involved with Jeffrey Epstein, who spent time with Jeffrey Epstein, who used Jeffrey Epstein's network of sexually trafficked young girls for rape and abuse, then as a country, Epstein will never go away. I don't want Epstein to go away for Donald Trump. I want it to haunt him until his dying day. We don't know at the end of this what the DOJ is hiding. Millions of documents remain hidden. The evidence from the hard drives taken from Epstein are mysteriously, no one knows where it is, supposedly. But someday we will. Someday we'll know more. Someday the victims will have some sense of justice. And this elephant in the room tonight was not as snappy, I think, as a lot of them. I try to be a little funny sometimes. I try to give you some insight with some humor, but this is a serious story. And I know we're going to have to keep looking at it. I interviewed Congressman Becca Bailent today, and she said, you know, the things you see in these unredacted documents are horrifying. They're scarring. They're mind-numbing. They're just monstrous. And I hope we don't have to see those as a country. I don't want to see those. Nobody wants to see those. But the fact that those things exist, the fact that that evidence exists, the fact that the DOJ is hiding more of that evidence is not going to make Jeffrey Epstein go away. Jeffrey Epstein is the permanent elephant in the room, especially for this president. Folks, thanks so much for listening. As always, really appreciate you all. You can catch me on Sundays with Molly Jung Fast on Fast Politics. You can catch me on Tuesdays on the Strategy Session on Lincoln Square. On Thursdays with The Breakdown. Fridays, both in the morning, you can catch me on Behind the Numbers with Andrew Wilson. America's only father and son polling show, and we're damn proud of it. And you can catch me on Friday afternoons with this, The Elephant in the Room. Folks, really appreciate you all. I hope you also go out and check your voter registration. I'm going to start saying this because a lot of these red states in particular are playing screw around with your voter reg. Be careful. Get it checked out. Make sure you have all the right ID. If you need help with that ID, call or go to votewriters.org. They can help you get voter ID if you need it in your states. I'm more convinced than ever we're on a path to a big fall, to a big election. But it's on all of us to make sure we do all that work in the meantime. At Lincoln Project and Lincoln Project Advocacy, we're working on that every single day. On our podcast and our streaming stuff, we have these podcast shows, these streaming shows, because we think and we know people get value from them. They understand that we're going to shoot straight with you about what's going on. And we're going to talk straight to you about what we know from politics from a long time in this world. So we appreciate you all. Do me a favor, folks. Like and subscribe. You can also catch me on Against All Enemies on my Substack every Friday. We have the Friday Brief and post about 4 or 5 other pieces a week and podcasts included over there. So check out Against All Enemies on Substack. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production.
Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe,
and Joey Wartner-Cheney.
Edited by Riley Main.
Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.